Broadcasting from the confines of an abandoned radio station in the secluded ghost town of high strangeness on the flats of the Colorado Rockies with Elvis and Beams of Light. It's time for full disclosure of the topics they told us were off limits. Hi, everybody. Connie Willis here. This is Coast to Coast AM, and tonight, a different way to learn, kind of change your brain. I think you're going to like this. Doesn't sound like you're going to like this, but you're going to like this. Also, the experience of being inside the beam of light. Witnesses to that story tonight. So join me. Time now to turn off those lights. It's another interesting evening of conversation, much needed education, and the chance that we might get a little closer to the truth of what lurks amongst us and what is beyond. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. Hello, everybody. Connie Willis here. How's it going? Hope you're having a good night. Thank you so much for last night. That was quite a, it was interesting, wasn't it? I am still getting emails. Thank you so much. There's hundreds of them, and that's nice. That's nice. I appreciate that. You guys have found me in outlets I didn't even know I had anymore. That's kind of scary. But thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I am glad that for the most part, you know, there's just something in radio or communication that we're all taught in school that you can say so many words and not the male-female thing of who can take how much, but how many words people just actually hear you say. And a lot of you got it that the state representative, Justin Humphrey, out of Oklahoma, was actually listening. He was there to listen. He was totally open. I knew he was going to do that. And that's why I knew this was going to be really good, heartfelt type thing. But, you know, some people were still hearing that he was going to kill it and, you know, try to kill Sasquatch and all that. So, you know, for the most part, everybody did hear what was going on and how open it was. And I'll let you know along the way how he is. I asked him just by text and said, you know, did you get some sleep? And he said, no. As soon as the show was over, I started writing down how we could start a museum, how we could start with trails. So he was into it and was really appreciative of everything that he learned. So thank everybody that was a part of that. The emails that are still coming in, I will be passing those on to him. So, you know, that's fine to continue to send those if you see a link to do something, because I see stuff still going around. So thank you all for being a part of that night, and really appreciate that. So that was really, really fun, and it's going to keep on going. So I'll keep you up to date. If you want to find me, you can go to, I'm starting a new platform because I do a lot of live things, and I'm just going to, you just do Connie Willis, you know, because that's who I am. So that's where it's going to be. Everybody's like, where is it? I can't find it. Where is it? I can't find it. Well, just so you guys know, there's another Connie Willis out there. Yeah, believe it or not. And I hope to have her here on Coast to Coast at some time. She's actually... This is the way to introduce her. She's not the female Stephen King. He is the male Connie Willis. That's the way to put it. She's an incredible science fiction writer, and she and I have mixed up, you know, she's got some of my email before and I've got some of her email before kind of thing in letters. And so I don't think I've ever actually talked straight up with her, but I know that we kind of bounce around with each other on the web out there a little bit. There's some funny stories to that. I bet she's got some too. So anyway, if you want to catch me, you can go to ConnieWillis.com. Right now it's going to say coming soon. So go on there, get your name in, and at least I'll be able to say, hey, the show is on. Here's a special deal to join me. I think you're going to like it. It's fun. I'm excited about it. This is where we do live investigations and live streams, chatting to people, talking to people. Everything's live. You can go to the archives as well, but it's live investigations. And we are, you know, batting 1,000 where we've had activity at every creepy hotspot. It's because they're real. They're real researchers. These are all people just like you. They're all people that love Coast to Coast. They're the real deal. They're out there doing it. And It's a lot of fun. So I hope you'll join me. That's ConnieWillis.com. Oh, they're already trying. Let me turn that off. It's just, you know, one of those things. I got eight devices here. We'll turn them all off. Turn them all down. Okay, so you guys, I am so excited about the first guest tonight and the second guest as well, of course. But Barbara Oakley is our next guest for tonight. She's our first guest for tonight. And I just kind of ran into her. I was just looking at some, I'm a Coast Insider. I'm just checking out some things and looking back at some of the past work. And Ian Punnett had interviewed Barbara Oakley. And I just fell in love with her immediately. And then I talked to her and then fell in love even more. She's just a wonderful person. She's an amazing lady. And we're going to be talking to her tonight about learning. Now, she's a doctor and also a professor of engineering at Oakland University. This is in Rochester, Michigan. Hope I said that one right. I know there's some words in here in her bio. I was like, I think I might avoid that and let her do it. But, you know, she's Michigan's Distinguished Professor of the Year. She's won that. And also, she's got this incredible course or two. She's probably got a few more in there that is huge. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And her work focuses on the complex relationship between neuroscience and social behavior. She is quite amazing. You can pretty much talk to her about anything. She's a New York Times bestselling author and has published in outlets as varied as the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the Wall Street Journal, and the New York Times. And she also went to the ends of the earth to get her man. And I'm sure she's got a little story to tell us about that. But it's tonight we'll start out talking about how to change your brain and learning how to learn. And this, everybody, put your hands together at home because she's absolutely wonderful. And I think you'll probably feel the same. So definitely let me know along the way. It is Barbara Oakley. Welcome once again back to Coast to Coast. How are you, Barbara?
Oh, Connie, I'm so good. I'm so glad to be back, and I'm just very excited about all the things we're going to talk about today. You're just so in tune with all these sort of new ways of looking at how we learn, and I think we're going to have a fun evening.
Well, thank you. I do. I love to, you know, you think about it as a kid in school, you're like, I just want it to be over. I want, you know, I was that kid that wanted to hurry up and get through all my schooling so I could get into what I knew I wanted to do, you know, adventures and TV and film and all this great stuff. And I thought, I remember at second grade just going, oh my gosh, I got to go through a 12th grade. I got to go what? And then call what? You know, I just thought I am trapped forever. So I don't really care much about that kind of learning. I like the out there in the life kind of learning, even though I just hurried up and nailed it at school because I thought if I nail it and get through it really quickly, I can get to that good stuff I want to get to. So if I think, well, yeah, I guess I love to learn. Yeah, I do, but not that stuff I didn't. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That old school thing?
Oh, well, I remember when I was a kid, I hated learning, basically. I funked my way through elementary, middle, and high school math and science. I really hated math and science, which is kind of ironic since I'm now a professor of engineering. But I totally get where you're coming from. I mean, I used to come home from school, jump on my horse, and just go out riding. And that's what I did. I just loved it. And so I still look today, and I'm shocked. I'm like, how did this happen? It's learning is an interesting story, but I think of particular interest to Coast to Coasters is that IQ scores around the world have been dropping for the last decades, and nobody can really figure out why. But I think there are some very interesting clues. So I think that's something that we could talk about tonight.
Well, bring it on. I know. I remember, you know, I'm talking to you. As soon as I got on the phone with you, I was like, okay, you know, what about, let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. And then I saw you were in Antarctica. You were all, you know, and I thought, Antarctica, did you see the UFOs that are hidden there? What, you got to tell me this stuff, right? You're all across the board. And I love that. So, well, let's definitely start with learning how to learn. Then we got to get into Antarctica at one point for sure. So I find it interesting that you were like in the hole of your basement with your husband writing something, and then all of a sudden your life changed with Harvard.
Well, it's funny. So I, you know, I'm just this little Midwestern engineer, and I was invited to speak for the National Academy of Sciences, and I was like, oh, holy cow. And of course, my topic, which was pathological altruism, which is doing good that actually ends up doing real bad stuff. And so, of course, it was very controversial. And, you know, I gave my talk, and the audience immediately began attacking. But my moderator loved it. And he was like, you know, giving me all these softball questions and saying, oh, no, no, be quiet. I'll ask the first question. Oh, and the second one, too. And it turned out my moderator was the world-renowned neuroscientist, Terence Sinowski. Mm. And so we got to talking. He loved my talk. And he said, you know, this is very important, Barb, but there's something that's even more important, and that is math and science and education in this country. And I said, well, you know, Terry, it turns out I'm working on a book on that. And he said, oh, really? Well, can I write the foreword? And I said, well, can I just die and go to heaven? And, and so that book was A Mind for Numbers, which is sold like well over a million all around the world. It's translated into a couple of dozen different languages because it really helps with learning of all kinds. But he... But I suggested to Terry, let's do, there's these new things called massive open online courses. And MOOCs is the sort of shorthand for it. And I said, why don't we also do a MOOC on this subject? And he was like, okay. And, but he was at University of California, San Diego, and they say, well, you know, Terry, of course we'll do it with you. I mean, you're world famous, but who's she? You know, no, we don't want to do it with her. So so Terry went and talked to Daphne Koller, who's the founder of the online platform Coursera. And the next morning I got an email that said, hey, we've opened the course up for you. You can get started. And I thought, oh my word. I felt, you know how dogs run to catch the car? Well, what does the dog do when they catch the car? And I felt like the dog who had just caught the car. I was like, oh my goodness, what do I do? How do I create this course? So I called this guy up.
Oh, you didn't even have the course created.
Oh, no, no.
It was just the idea. Oh, yeah, you are the dog that caught the car.
Yeah, and I didn't know anything about, like, video cameras or studios. I could push the button on a camera. And so I called this guy up who had a really popular course. And he said, oh, well, Barb, talk to my producer. And I'm like, producer? You got a producer? I got me and my hubby. And Terry is over in the Salk Institute. And so I called the producer, and the producer says, you know, I had 20 people working for me. You're going to be insane with no sleep. And I'm like, 20 people working for you? I just got us, you know, my hubby and I and Terry. So we just filmed it in my basement. And then... you know, I did all the editing and so forth, or almost all of it. And I look online, and, like, there's, like, 20,000 people signed up. Then there's 80,000. Then there's, like, 120. Then there's, like, 250,000 people signed up for this course. And I'm like, holy cow. You know, most of the time we haven't even started yet.
You went viral.
Nervous wreck. But then after the course came out, and it was extremely popular because it's super useful, and it's not sort of the traditional educational way of these are the things you need to know to learn.
Thank you.
It talks about why, and we actually can give you incredible amounts of neuroscience by just using metaphors. And then you can really understand the where and the why of how you learn. So I was invited to speak at Harvard. And again, I was like a super nervous wreck because, you know, I'm just a little Midwestern engineer. It's Harvard. I walk in the room, I'm even more nervous because it was packed, standing room only. Why are there so many people here? Come to find out, there are one little course made for virtually nothing in our basement had on the order of the same number of students as all of Harvard's massive open online courses put together, made for millions of dollars with hundreds of people. And I think what that tells you is that people are starved. For fresh, practically useful information from neuroscience that's not just the usual educational stuff we kind of already know, and we don't really even know why, but it's really new stuff that's practically useful.
Love it. You went viral.
Yep, I think so. And I was so shocked because I remember my husband and I looking at each other and go, why are we even doing this? I mean, is anybody even going to watch these videos? And thank goodness the first footage is missing now. But I was so nervous that I looked like I was staring down the barrel of a shotgun. And I was like, oh, I can't do this. I'd do my little prima donna moments where I'd flub something enough times that I thought, oh, you know, I could never do this kind of thing. But it's really a tribute to the fact that practice and just getting used to it and working away at it can actually bring you to places that you never thought you could go. So
yeah, you did amazing. That course is the one that's the learning how to learn powerful mental tools to help you master through subjects, correct? That's a course.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep,
so we have that on the website. So everybody, if you go to where the description of the show is, you can click on it. It's free. You can get a certification if you want for like $49 if you'd like to, but you can take it for free. And so we put it on the site so you can go to it and give it a shot, because is it like the biggest one or one of the biggest courses ever on the planet or something to learn?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
It's like there's something like, I think, 12,000 courses out there. And this is around in the top 3 or 4.
So good. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's super, super popular. So
I'm proud of you. That's so cool.
Well, part of it, too, is it's funny. You know, you're learning practical tools, but you got to kind of keep your eye on it because there's all these fun things happening all the time. And Terry is the Francis Crick Professor at the Salk Institute, and he's also one of only 12 living human beings who's simultaneously a member of the National Academy of Sciences, National Academy of Engineering, and National Academy of Medicine. And you get him, he comes off his pedestal, and he's just so freaking fun. It was just a delight to work together. And I think part of it was because I didn't have, you know, the wherewithal with 20 editors and so forth to work on the project, I just edited it all myself. And whenever I got bored, I could feel it. And so I would make sure that your attention got brought back before that boring part happened. And it turned out really well. But the reason it turned out that way was because of the worst professor I ever had. And this guy, he was a nightmare in the classroom. he was always making mistakes. And I remember I was taking this graduate electromagnetics course, and he was driving away, and he made a mistake. And he was looking at the board and trying to figure out where he made the mistake. So all these people were sitting in the front row and kind of, you know, just talking away. And they started talking about the latest television show. And, of course, I didn't watch television because, you know, I'm a busy student. I'm an introductor. And suddenly, this professor wheels around, puts his arms up, and he's like, I never watch television. And I thought, oh, my word, I better start watching television. And so we did. We started watching television over the years. I mean, we watched Breaking Bad and Downton Abbey and, I mean, just followed good shows. And
you're a rebel, and we got to come back. We got to take a break here. We're going to come back and talk to you some more. The rebel Barbara Oakley, and then how she turned it all around and changed her brain. We'll ask her more about that when we come back. Connie Willis here with you, along with the doctor, Dr. Oakley, in the house. Connie Willis here too, Coast to Coast AM. You are listening to Coast AM. Connie Willis here. We are talking with Dr. Barbara Oakley. She is a New York Times bestselling author whose published outlets as varied as the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. That's really cool. The Wall Street Journal, also the New York Times. And her research has been described as revolutionary in the Wall Street Journal. And even better, she's got a great sense of humor, and she's very down to earth. And so I believe, Barbara, you were right at watching TV, and you were going to be rebellious, and you were going to watch TV, and you're watching Breaking Bad. Is that right?
That's right. So basically, you know, just because that really horrible professor was so anti-TV, it made me start watching TV. And what that did was it helped fuel my understanding over the years of how you construct something in video form that people like to watch. And there's actually a lot to it, emotion, and there's a lot of underlying neuroscience. I mean, like things that suddenly look like they loom closer to you on television, that automatically attracts your attention, because when things loom closer to you, on an evolutionary perspective, they're more likely to kill you. So you actually have neural circuits that can detect when things are going closer. And so your eye goes to the screen and you can't even stop yourself. So there's all sorts of little neural tricks that really good video editors do. But you can develop that knack yourself just by kind of watching with a fresh eye how people are creating things.
You look at things, you like destruct, what is the word?
Deconstruct.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, deconstruct. You deconstruct like everything, kind of, don't you?
Well,
that's cool. That's a great way to, but I'm learning how you learn, how you do that. That's what you do. Break it down.
Well, part of it is just, I don't know, I'm a big Jackie Chan fan in the movies. So, you know, he's this guy who does all these extraordinary stunts, and they're death-defying, literally. And I've read his autobiography, and when they're filming him and he's doing this stunt, like he's sitting there, you can see his face, and trucks go by like 1 inch on either side of him, and he looks terrified, and he actually is terrified, but he just makes himself do these things. So for me, I'm too clumsy to do that physically, but I'm always doing these things mentally that I'm really afraid of. Like, oh, let's go to Antarctica and work as a radio operator at the South Pole. Let's go to the Bering Sea and be a Russian translator on Soviet trawlers. Let's enlist in the army. Let's be a military officer in West Germany. All these kinds of things. I'm always terrified. So people often think the imposter syndrome is a bad thing. you know, you're terrified because you think everybody else is better at it than you. But actually, it's a really good thing because it keeps you sort of willing and open, and you're looking and you're flexible to change. And that is a great path to move forward with. A lot of really highfalutin, very, very smart professors, one of their biggest challenges is they are intellectually inflexible. And part of that grows from these, well, let's try and avoid boring stuff. But there's basically two ways your brain learns. One is through, okay, forgive me, the declarative system, which has this glib little hippocampus. I call him Hip. And it learns very quickly and efficiently. But the other way you learn is through the procedural system. And that's a really slow way of learning. You just have to repeat things over and over again. And really smart people, their procedural systems are really good, but they're also really inflexible. So these smart, super smart professors can be, you know, they're top of their field, but you introduce them to a new idea, and especially if it goes against what their career is built on,
forget
about it. They'll do everything they can to attack and diminish what you're doing. Not everybody, but there are a fair number of top-notch intellectual academics who are exactly like that.
Yep. I knew some of those in school. Yeah, absolutely. Know those people in life in general, yes.
Well, so part of it is, so if you're wondering, you know, how could, it's a tremendous puzzle, how could IQ scores suddenly start going down over the last decades? Because there's something called the Flynn effect, and that means that people on average have been getting smarter over the last few centuries. So why on earth would it suddenly start going down in recent decades? And it's under debate, but if you really, really look at it, our brain has two major ways of learning, through declarative and through that procedural system that needs a lot of practice. It needs some rote repetition, but that's what helps you do things really easily. So it isn't like drill and kill. It's like drill and chill. Your brain can do stuff just automatically with you not even thinking about it. But the latest educational approaches in last 50 years are drilling is completely bad. It is drill and kill, and we will avoid that altogether. And what that's done is remove half of the way that we really learn and that we can handle our learning easily. So if you throw out half of the way we learn, of course IQ scores are going to start to go down. You can't learn very well. It's like you're trying to limp along on one leg when you need both to move forward. So I find it very, very interesting that it's almost like some or even many modern educators, especially in the most difficult topics like math and science, are adamantly opposed to the very techniques we need to learn effectively in those disciplines.
So I know of something. Are you familiar with remote viewing when the military, the psychic spies,
yes,
the Cold War?
The Russians did a lot of that.
Yeah. Well, there's ARV, associative remote viewing, controlled remote viewing, and there's ERV. I'm trying to think of what the E is. It's extended, or I can't remember exactly. I think it's extended. But this is where they just slow you down and you get into this certain state, And when you get into that exact certain state, there is nothing but truth and information flowing like crazy. And it's very relaxed. It's right before you would go into like a REM. I know I'm getting it all wrong and they're all probably screaming at me right now, but it is ERV. So everybody at least check that out. And it everything just flows, but you are as chill. I was thinking of it because you were saying chill. You're as chill as you can possibly be without going to sleep. And all this information flows. And they say if you can achieve that, then you'll get everything in the universe perfectly for the most part. Pure, real, and right there for you to grab.
Well, this kind of relates to what I know from, I mean, all sorts of things are possible that we, you know, that we may not believe are possible, but if you have the real experiences yourself, you suddenly, your eyes are open, that there's really unusual things that are very possible. But one pathway towards understanding what potentially could be happening with ERV is that we are now finding hypnosis is an excellent way to focus in this chill state, and you can actually learn more easily when you're in this kind of chill, hypnotic state. And it'll be interesting because hypnosis, they're doing much, much, much more research on it. And I've heard from, let's see, friends in the know that there are people who are very, very interested in ERV as far as kind of an interesting way of looking at things like stock market and so forth.
Yes.
So,
oh, yeah. Of course.
To see what unfolds there.
Absolutely. Well, just to go back to the learning how to learn, now I've got the course. I started it, at least I signed up for it. And I thought, I'm going to do this. I think it told me I had 8 hours. I think, is it an eight hour or more?
It doesn't take 8 hours.
How long does it take?
Well, there's about 3 hours of video. So you watch that and kind of, you can look at the interviews. They're just fun interviews on the side. But, I think altogether the whole course, somewhere between 4 to 5 hours.
Oh, okay. I thought it said 8 hours. I was like, well, I'm going to wait until this weekend's over. But hey, listen, yeah. I am signed up and I'm going to take it. But why is it so huge? What is it? What's that? What is it? Because, you know, a lot of people can take it at first and then it just all of a sudden drop out. But no, this just keeps on going. You got a little Timex thing going on here. I mean, it just keeps going. People really continue to take it. So what's the core in there? What's going on? The learning how to learn. What's your trick? How do we change our brain?
Well, you know, word of mouth is really important. And the word of mouth arises because of some of the tricks that we talk about. And for example, one of those tricks is that, like when I was a kid, I'm flunking math and science. And part of that was because I would look at the math and it wouldn't make sense to me. So I'd think, well, I'm an idiot about math. And I mean, the other kids in the class, they're getting it. And of course, I moved a lot when I was a kid. So I was always kind of behind in math. And they were getting it because, you know, they've been studying all the way along, and here I charge in from Texas to Massachusetts or something. And but also, math wasn't my thing. But the real bottom line is, I didn't know that when I got stuck on a problem, that was perfectly normal, and all I needed to do was kind of back away and go do something completely different for a while. Work on something else, or go ride my horse, or just do something different, and then come back to it. And during that intervening time where you're not focused on it, you can, your brain is consolidating and making sense of what you're trying to learn. And it's completely transparent to you. You think, I'm off riding my horse. I'm going for a walk. I'm doing something different. And you don't realize that your brain is working away in the background, making these connections, and you come back, and suddenly it begins to make sense. And so that was a big thing for me, is I didn't understand that there's these two different modes where you have to focus at first, then go into this diffuse, relaxed mode, a mental mode, and then come back to it. And you can't be in both modes at the same time, mostly, unless you're taking certain forms of mushrooms. I'm not advocating.
Yeah, I was going to say something like that, but I didn't.
but if I had known that earlier, I wouldn't have given up on myself so much. You know, that it's perfectly normal not to be a fast burner. And actually, you can learn things more deeply if you're not a fast learner. Because some people do learn really fast, and they're like race car learners. But race cars, everything goes by in a blur. Some other people, like me, are more like hiker learners. They walk along, they get to the finish line, but it's really slow. But they can reach out, they can touch the leaves in the trees, they can smell the pine in the air, they can hear the birds, completely different experience, and in some ways, far richer and deeper. So I didn't know that. I just thought, if I'm a slow learner, I'm a bad learner. Instead of, if I'm a slow learner, I can see things that those race cars whizzing by miss. And in fact, founding father of modern neuroscience, Santiago Ramón y Cajal, said, I'm no genius. And he wasn't, because he was a terrible student in school. He always struggled. But he won the Nobel Prize and, you know, is the founding father. And he said, the biggest thing for me is I was persistent. He would practice. And he was flexible. When he was wrong, he could change his mind. He said, I've worked with so many geniuses, and when they're wrong, they can't accept it. Instead, what they'll just do is say, well, gosh, they'd use their intellect to justify why they must have somehow been right anyway, even when they were just totally dead wrong.
You know what? I think I dated a few of those. We're talking with Barbara Oakley, Dr. Barbara Oakley, and she is great. I just can listen to her all day long. I just love her. And she's got so many other like adventure stories too. So I like to do a series on her and just hang out with her. Did you hear the mushroom thing? That was hilarious. Well, you are listening to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis, and we got more to come. And we also we're going to be talking later on tonight to Mr. Warner about being inside a beam of light. More to come. Stay with us. You're listening to Coast AM.